Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Roll call for Tuesday, February 14th. Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Meyer. Nicholas.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Nutting.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Excused.
Von Platern.
Here.
President Anderson.
Here.
Meyer.
Excused.
28 present, 2 excused.
Prayer by Father Cronkleton.
Let us pray. God of love, Chaucer suggests that today, Valentine's Day, is the day that the birds choose their mates, and therefore today is the day of passion. We often think of passion as a powerful feeling of emotion, attraction, or romance. Passion, however, at its very root, is from the Latin and Greek, which means to suffer. Lord, fill us with passion for the work before us this day. Let us be willing to suffer for the great people of this state of Wyoming by pursuing the responsibilities we have before us. Be with us in our committee meetings, in our work here on the floor of the Senate. Guide the introduction of legislation, our debate, the amendments we pursue, and the votes we take. When the day draws to a close, let us be able to say that it was a day of passion. Lord God, we also lift up to you Mrs. Elaine Scott, Senator Scott's wife, who passed away last night. Welcome her into your eternal home and give to her family consolation and peace during this time of grief. Help them to know your love in their lives and the reward that is promised to us all in heaven. As always, we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will a reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 13th, 2012, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Dr. James Broomfield from Cheyenne. Our nurse for the day is Jeannie Wernsman from the Wyoming Medical Center. On this day in history in Wyoming in 1901, Governor Richards approved an act that changed the name of Stinking Water River to the Shoshone River. Also, back in 1870, Esther Morris appointed the first female Justice of the Peace. Introduction, reading reference of bills. Senate File 24, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 24, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, property exempt from execution, and act relating to civil procedure.
Senator Perkins, would you like to introduce the bill, please?
Yes, Mr. President. Well, this is a committee bill from Judiciary. What we're doing is going back and reviewing the exemptions, the property exemptions that are out there that have been. We've got the homestead exemption, wearing apparel exemption, personal property exemption for like furniture and fixtures. Oh, thank you. And Mr. President, I'd like to move, in accordance with Senate Rule 24-1, I'd like to move Senate File 24, property exempt from execution, for introduction. Back to what I was talking about. So anyway, what we've done is most of these have been done. I know I've been practicing law for 20 years, and they were these homestead exemptions were what they were before I was practicing law. So your Judiciary Committee went through and looked at these. We thought that it was time to have a change. We went through and made adjustments, and so we bring that bill and ask for your favorable consideration on it so we can discuss whether or not they should be increased. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Perkins. Senate File 24, would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Barnard?
Here.
Barnard? Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting? Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross? Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott excused, Von Platern,
aye.
President Anderson,
aye.
Closing vote, closing vote closed, 29 ayes, 1 excused.
Senate File 24, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 31, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 31, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Advanced Conversion Technology Study, and Act Relating to Minerals.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, pursuant to Senate Rules 24-1, I move for the introduction of Senate File 31, Advanced Conversion Technology Studies. Members of the Senate, this comes from the interim work we did relative to adding value to our tremendous mineral wealth in the state of Wyoming. And it became very apparent that there's some things we could certainly look at and do. And there was an initial study conducted by the Wyoming Business Council and INL out of Idaho relative to converting natural gas to mineral or to gasoline. And the preliminary economics were very, very favorable. And what this bill does, Mr. President, it takes that to the next level. And the next level would be what they call a FEED study or analysis of putting the numbers together, doing a design, and seeing if you can go out and secure financing. The benefits are obviously very huge for the state of Wyoming. It's one of the few areas, and probably the only area, where as natural gas prices go down, we see a benefit because we can take that natural gas with this plant and convert it to liquids. The important thing to remember, about the bill, Mr. President, is it does have a $10 million appropriation for this FEED study. That appropriation requires a dollar-for-dollar, 100% match from anyone that might, in fact, be able to qualify that. It goes to the existing Clean Coal Task Force that hopefully will change the name to the Advanced Conversion Technology Study Group that will analyze that and make a decision as to whether or not the people that are looking at the RFP and submitting for this type of a program to be moved forward. Then they report to the Minerals Committee based upon that. And then the governor, of course, will have the opportunity to let it go into effect. And the end result, Mr. President, is that we will have an opportunity as a state to move forward a natural gas to minerals project that will be able to utilize the resource we have in natural gas and convert it to gasoline. The jobs are huge. The opportunities are significant. It's just a good project, Mr. President. I would ask for your support.
Thank you, Senator Bebout. Senate File 31. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard? Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Conflict.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson. Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott excused, Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson,
aye.
Closing vote, closing vote closed, 26 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused, and 1 conflict.
Senate File 31, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senator Nicholas.
I have the privilege of the floor to explain my vote.
Yes, you may.
Mr. President, with respect to my declaration of conflict on this, I have no personal benefit in this bill. It's a generic bill, applies to others, but I think most folks know that one of the companies in Wyoming that's maybe a potential applicant for these dollars employs my oldest son, Joe, and having come off about a month and a half of trying to figure out what people think are conflicts, I'm a little sensitive to these things right now, so it's just easier to do it. I do not believe I have a conflict, but for the appearances of it, I'd ask you to accept my conflict.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas, and I think we all appreciate that. Senate File 32, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 32, sponsored by the Labor Committee, Workers' Compensation Amendments, and Act Relating to Workers' Compensation.
Senate File 32, Senator Dockstader, would you like to speak to this bill, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. Pursuant to Senate Rule 24-1, I move Senate File 32 for introduction and ask for your favorable consideration. This represents the interim study and work of labor and health. It allows us for the reporting of substandard care. The reporting would be done to the proper licensing authorities. Specific changes, actually, on page 5, where it establishes the reporting and notes the misdemeanor. We needed clarification of what would be considered a public employee in relation to the Governmental Claims Act, establishes the necessary hearing panels, and points to the panel necessity of and also establishes the necessity of maintaining confidentiality. In conclusion, and again emphasizing that reporting will be done to the appropriate professional authorities and licensing authorities. Members of the Senate, I ask for your favorable approval of workers' compensation amendments, Senate File 32.
Thank you, Senator. In regard to Senate File 32, Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer, Scott excused, Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
Senate File 32, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor Health. Senate File 33, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 33, sponsored by the Management Audit Committee, Department of Enterprise Technology Services, an act relating to the administration of government.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, in accordance with Senate Rule 24-1, I move for introduction of Senate File 33, Department of Enterprise Technology Services. Mr. President, Management Audit brings you this bill. As a result of an audit we did last year, and then working with the governor's office and the Appropriations Committee to draw up a structure for the Chief Information Officer for the Executive Branch. What it does is outlines duties and responsibilities, the way the budget will work for them, and the way that, agencies can get access to the modern-day methods of communicating. I ask for your favorable response.
Thank you, Senator. In regard to Senate File 33, the Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas. Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott excused, Von Flatern, President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 33, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 25, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 25, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Public Records, an act relating to public records.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, in accordance with Senate Rule 24-1, I move Senate File 25 for introduction. The short title is Public Records. Mr. President, this bill was assigned to the Judiciary Committee to work after a similar bill on this subject matter was introduced and hotly debated last year. Judiciary undertook this, went and had numerous meetings. This bill reflects, in large part, a compromise that was brought to us by the members of the Wyoming Press Association, who met in a kind of an informal task force with the members of the representatives of the Wyoming Association of Municipalities and the Wyoming County Commissioners Association to deal with public records. The judiciary made a few changes to it. Ultimately, it represents that compromise, and it comes back and will hopefully bring to the body a format that we can debate and see if we can finalize these issues finish up the debate we had last year. And with that explanation, I ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Senator, in regard to Senate File 25, Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert, Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott excused, Von Flatern. President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Johnson, no to aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 26 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 25, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 46, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 46, sponsored by Senator Martin, liens, fuel consumed in a project, and act relating to liens.
Senator Martin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in accordance with Senate Rule 24-1, I move for introduction of Senate File 46, liens, fuels consumed in a project, and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, many of us will remember Senate File 25 that was passed and signed into law during the 2010 session.
That bill was a significant rewrite of Wyoming's lien law. Senate File 25 provided protections for Wyoming small businesses that contract to provide goods and services on large wind energy projects. And the definitions were expanded at that time in the bill for subcontractors, materials, and material men to give sufficient time for all the entities to adjust to the new law. It did not become effective until this past July 2011. Once Senate File 25 became law, Mr. President, Wyoming small business petroleum marketers and distributors quickly identified the need for a technical cleanup to add fuel and lubricants to the definition of materials. While equipment and machinery were added to the list of materials, petroleum products that power the equipment and machinery were not referenced. Fuels and lubricant contracts for most large projects will exceed $1 million. Currently, a petroleum marketer only remedy when large out-of-state contractors default on a contract is civil. And all too often, Wyoming marketers end up settling for pennies on the dollar. Senate File 26, as I said, is a technical cleanup to simply include fuel and lubricants to the list of materials for which the marketer can file for lien protection. Importantly, just like all other materials provided, a marketer must have a contract properly executed with a recognized agent of the property owner, or a lien cannot be filed. I now would ask for your favorable consideration for introduction of Senate File 46.
Thank you, Senator Martin. In regard to Senate File 46, Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Barnard. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott, excuse, Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson,
aye.
Closing vote, closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
Senate File 46, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 34, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 34, sponsored by the Labor Committee, Medicaid Option Study, an act relating to the administration of government.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pursuant to Senate File Rules 24-1, I move Senate File 34, Medicaid Options Study, for introduction and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, we continue to get a handle on this most expensive part of our government. This represents a continued study of the labor and health, the interim study. And what it essentially does is reports on the existing Medicaid program, repeals the 2011 study, and reauthorizes some changes along the way. It authorizes working with a consultant, reviews the payment program with the state, how it's coordinated with the federal government, how this addresses the enrollees of the program. It reviews the physical, mental health, and dental health aspects of Medicaid. And the study allows for redesigns, and that will include taking a look at a redesign of financing, insurance models, Medicaid models, and other programs such as the vouchers. Also recommends methods for eligibility and utilization of the program. It does call for an appropriation to handle two assignments from the House and two from the Senate, but they are to report back to the body, to the Labor and the Health, with their first report due to Labor and Health by December 1st of 2012, and the final report due in by May 1st of 2013. We'd ask for your continued support as we are working hard to attempt and get a handle on this Medicaid and reduce costs along the way. We feel like this is a good approach to it, and I'd ask the body for your favorable support.
Thank you, Senator Dockstader. In regard to Senate File 34, Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate File 34, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor Health. Senate File 38, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 38, sponsored by the Management Council, Revisors Bill, and Act relating to revision of inadvertent errors.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for introduction, Senate File 38, Revisors Bill. The Revisors Bill is prepared annually by the LSO office and is sponsored by Management Council. It is basically a statutory cleanup bill. Their purposes to the bill are to correct inadvertent errors, correct statutory references, incorrect language, etc., correct obsolete references, and to repeal fully executed provisions. The Legislative Service Office only includes items in the revisor's bill that do not affect any substantive change in the law. Would urge your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Senator Ross. In regard to Senate File 38, Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin. Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson,
aye.
Closing vote, closing vote closed, 30 ayes.
Senate File 38, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. Senate File 12, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 12, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Nuclear Energy Task Force Extension, an act relating to nuclear energy.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, pursuant to Senate Rule 24-1, I'd like to move introduction of Senate File 12, Nuclear Energy Task Force Extensions, and hope for favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is an extension of the task force that we put into place in the last Senate session. We had a productive task force that met several times throughout the state over the course of the interim. We explored a lot of possibilities, and we look to continue to explore those possibilities over the upcoming interim. This task force was comprised of four legislators, two from each chamber, as well as three individuals from the public who were experts related to their energy field. And basically, we were looking at ways that we could extend the implementation, use, and development of nuclear energy and nuclear energy development within the state of Wyoming. The extension of the task force continues the efforts that we've performed. We do have some legislation that's come forward from that task force through the Minerals Committee and will be introduced, so we had a successful run, but there were some additional issues, Mr. President, that we're interested in exploring further to include education and the way that we can move forward in education in the nuclear sector, to include refining, storing, processing, and developing our resources within the state of Wyoming to add value to the uranium that we currently have, to potentially explore the application of thorium in the nuclear sector. So there's still a lot of work ahead. It looks promising.
There are a lot of potential opportunities in our conversations with the energy sector, with the power producers. There certainly is good possibility and a good future for the state of Wyoming, and we hope as a committee to continue our work and to explore these possibilities further and potentially provide more value for the state of Wyoming. And with that, I would urge introduction of this Senate file. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. In regard to Senate File 12, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard. Bebout. Burns. Case. Christensen. Coe. Cooper. Dockstader. Driscoll. Emmerich. Esquibel. Geis. Hastert. Hicks. Hines. Jennings. Johnson. Landon. Martin. Meyer. Nicholas. Nutting. Perkins. Peterson. Ross. Rothfuss. Schiffer. Scott. Bonflatern. President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate File 12, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 26, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 26, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, District Court Judge Increase, and Act Relating to District Courts.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, under Senate Rule 24-1, I move introduction of Senate File 26, District Court Judge Increase, and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Your Honor, what we have in this case is there is a district court judge, a ship that there's a district court judge in Sheridan County that is has far more than what he can handle and do in a timely manner. Judge Finn up there is doing a great job. He's been on the job about three or four years now. But ultimately, he just can't keep up with the case file. What this bill would do was create a new district court judge position, put it in, he would be located in Buffalo in Johnson County. Johnson County has, I believe, issued the contracts even for the district courtroom, so the facilities have already been let and I think are under construction. Whether or not this bill's passed, there'll be the opportunity for that judge to have adequate courtroom facilities, a district court judge to have adequate courtroom facilities in Johnson County. And so I would move for ask for your favorable consideration on this so that the folks in Johnson County can get timely resolutions to their probates and divorces and crimes and things like that that happened there. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senate File 26. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe. Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross, Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Bonflatern, President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 26. Chief Clerk will call a roll. I'm sorry. Senate File 26, having failed. Senate File 26, having received a two-thirds majority, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill, Senate File 59. Reading Clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 59, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, Public Employee Retirement Plans Benefit Increases, and Act Relating to Public Employment Retirement Plans.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pursuant to Senate Rule 24, I'd move for the introduction of Senate File Number 59. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard a lot of emails about this. I do urge you to vote for this for introduction. The Joint Appropriations Committee has been signed over the last few years to look at the health of the retirement program, principally the large, big plan that employees are participating in. Over the course of the last 5 to 6 years, we've lost enough value that we went from about a 90% funding down to 84% funding. That's a fairly alarming decrease that we need to look at. As a matter of fact, what we heard from experts over the course of the last year and a half is that we lost $1.5 billion worth of investment in the big plan on account of three separate independent matters. First, there was about $500 million lost in the valuation in the stock market crash that all of us suffered from. That's just $500 million by the time they recovered. Second, there was about $500 million reduction in the fund balance on account of issuing cost of living increases. So the fund ended up paying about $500 million for that. Third, there was a decision made some years ago to change the multipliers. The multipliers is the number against which you multiply your years of service to calculate your retirement benefit. That multiplier effect that was increased when a change of directorship, it did increase, and it cost us another $500 million to the fund. So what we're learning is that these small decisions that you make are, frankly, have large impacts on the retirement balance. Now, what you've been hearing about is what about cost of living increases? What the testimony is that a retirement account needs to reach an amount of about 120% of funding before you can pay for cost of living increases out of the corpus investments of the fund. Otherwise, if you want to, it doesn't say you can't have cost of living increases, but they'd have to be paid by your benefits contribution.
30 seconds.
Thank you. At the level of contributions we have right now, the fund cannot afford to pay for it until we reach an amount. You're free to make changes of that 120% later, but this is a very important bill to make sure that our accounts remain sound. I'd urge that you vote aye for consideration.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas. Senate File 59. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks.
Aye.
Hines. Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
President Anderson,
aye.
Closing vote. Hastert, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 22 ayes, 8 noes.
Senate File 59, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 45, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 45, sponsored by Senator Geis. Alcoholic Beverages Manufacturers, an act relating to alcohol.
Senator Geis.
I would move Senate File 45 for introduction. This is a new business that we have up in Hot Springs County at Kirby, Wyoming. And if everything goes good, why, you'll be able to have a taste of it next December. What this bill does is allow them to have a satellite sample, and you get to have two of them a day. You can't have any more than that. And so I'd sure hope you'd vote aye for it, because this is good stuff, they tell me.
Thank you, Senator Geist. With regard to Senate File 45, Chief Clerk will have called the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geist.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines. Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer. Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 45, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Just a little bit helps the medicine go down. Senate File 14, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 14, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Nuclear and Hybrid Energy Systems Related Projects, and Act Relating to Business Development.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. President, pursuant to Senate Rule 24-1, I move Senate File 14, Nuclear and Hybrid Energy Systems and Related Projects, for introduction. I ask for your favorable vote. Mr. President, Senate File 14 is the result of an interim work done by the Task Force on Nuclear Energy Production. Hybrid energy systems are an excellent fit for Wyoming because of the ability of these systems to combine any or all of a number of fuel sources such as coal, natural gas, that's dry natural gas, by the way, wind, biomass, and nuclear for the production of electric power, and the capability to provide superheat for the conversion of coal to transportation fuels and chemical feedstocks from oil and gas. Hybrid energy systems have a value-added component that can have a huge impact on Wyoming's economic future in manufacturing and minerals industries. Senate File 14, Mr. President, directs the Wyoming Business Council and the Governor to work with the U.S. Department of Energy or other entities to facilitate the location of a next-generation reactor or hybrid energy system facility in Wyoming. Through testimony that was given to the task force by the Wyoming Business Council, the Governor's Office, and the Idaho National Laboratory, a proposed agreement was developed to work with INL's Program of Hybrid Energy System Research, Development, and Demonstration. INL envisions Wyoming becoming a significant partner in this effort. This partnership could also further additional collaborative private sector and federal investments. The bill provides a $250,000 appropriation to be matched dollar for dollar by the agency to investigate the feasibility of locating hybrid energy system facilities in Wyoming. The University of Wyoming would receive $50,000 of this $250,000 appropriation, which would ultimately be $100,000 or more when matching dollars from INL are added. INL will use the university as part of its research component. The study will consist of the following: opportunities and timing required to develop hybrid energy
time
in Wyoming.
And I'm sorry, I failed to give you a 30-second warning.
Okay,
I'm sorry. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You've got some time.
Oh, okay. And it will study the infrastructure needs. It will study the supply chain for other industries, their impact, the permitting requirements for including nuclear waste management, education, workforce training, and a general roadmap to include appropriate state involvement in establishing hybrid energy systems. This is a small investment that can pay huge dividends for Wyoming's economic future in the minerals industry, and I ask for your favorable consideration on this Senate File 14. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. And Senator Cooper, I apologize for the interruption. I need to get some glasses cleaner so I can eliminate the glare here. Anyway, with that, would the Chief Clerk please call a roll in regard to Senate File 14?
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader. Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geist.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate File 14, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 27, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 27, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Public Meetings, and Act Relating to Public Meetings.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under Senate Rule 24-1, I move introduction of Senate File 27, Public Meetings, and ask your favorable consideration. Mr. President, all we've got in Senate File 27 is the other half of an assignment by the Management Council to look at the Open Meetings and Public Records and Public Meetings Act. So that's what we did. In the interim, we looked at this. I don't believe this is probably the less controversial of the two. We've got some changes to the public meetings that came through again. A substantial part of it was agreed to as a compromise between the Wyoming Press Association and local government associations. And we've got that compromise in here. I would anticipate that there'll be a good discussion about it and there'll be amendments, but we'd ask for your favorable consideration on this issue so we can set forth the public meetings rules for the next couple decades, hopefully. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senate File 27. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll. Emmerich,
no.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines, Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer, Scott.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 6 noes.
Senate File 27, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 58, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 58, sponsored by the Labor Committee, Health Insurance Exchange Study, an act relating to the administration of government.
You want to flip a coin? I would recognize Senator Landon.
In accordance with Senate Rule 24-1, I would move introduction of Senate File 58 and ask for your favorable consideration. I was waiting for my compadre over here to the right. The good senator from the far west and I have spent the last 10 months on your behalf on a steering committee to look into what is known as health benefit exchanges. And I'll say a few things about that. You may remember, fellow senators, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, commonly referred to as the Affordable Care Act, was passed by Congress and signed into law in March of 2010. Now, you would also recall that we passed last session House Bill 102, which instructed a steering committee comprised of a couple of folks from the other end of the House. And the good senator from the West and I represented you on that committee from here. The steering committee has spent that time looking into one provision of the Affordable Care Act, and that is the mandate that states have to
be operational with a health insurance exchange by January 1st of 2014. It has been an educational experience, to say the least, but it has also been a lot like being put in a dark room with a gun and told to hit a target. Anytime you deal with the federal government, it's been slow in coming. It's been a very frustrating experience. That said, we came with this following recommendation to your Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee, and that is that we extend the life of this steering committee so that we can do a proper job of keeping enough flexibility on this issue until we can get to June and the Supreme Court ruling. But we think that it would be wise for us to be prepared. This is the law of the land, and I think that it's important that Wyoming be prepared. We also believe that Wyoming should run its own exchange. If we do not, and we are not prepared, then we would defer to the federal government, and they'd be running an exchange for us. We don't think that's a good thing. We would like to study this further. It's an important policy discussion that I think we should have here on the floor of the Senate. So I would appreciate your favorable consideration. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator. In regard to Senate File 58, the Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 58, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor Health. Senate File 16, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 16, sponsored by Senator Von Platern, Recreational Liability Aircraft Operations, an act relating to land used for recreation purposes.
Senator Von Platern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Per Senate Rule 24-1, I move Senate File 16 for introduction to the Senate and ask for your favorable vote. What this does is add the on page 2 of the bill, the very top, non-commercial aviation activities. That is added to our Chapter 19, liability of owners and land users for recreational purposes. What this does is the same thing we do for ski areas and for others that want access to public lands, and a landowner gives you permission to cross his land, or you're in a ski area and you hurt yourself. We've relieved some of the liability for you to sue those ski areas. One of the things that's happened in the state, and in fact 9 other states have adopted this, is that if you have a grass airstrip and you allow people to land there, or what has come into question in one state was for emergency use, and there it was, so the person lands. If you crash your aircraft at that time, is the owner of that property liable for you making a mistake in your landing? This could happen for anybody that would also have a fly-in and would ask his friends and whoever to use the grass strip, and something goes wrong with one of the airplanes. The gentleman ground loops it, and wants to blame the landowner. Well, this says you can't. He's not liable for your... Now, if he does something wanton, if you go to this chapter, if he actually does something that makes the airstrip unusable and has not warned anybody about it, then he is liable. But as it stands, and it's usable, and he gives you permission, you're no longer, or he is no longer liable for you making a mistake on your landing. So I ask for your favorable vote on this.
Senate File 16, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader, Driscoll, Amrick, Esquibel, Geist, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Martin, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Platern, President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 16, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel Recreation.
Can I have a page come to the desk?
Senate File 28, first reading of this bill.
Senate File 28, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Governmental Claims Liability Limits, an act relating to civil procedure.
Senator Perkins, would you like to raise the issue on this?
This is, Which one are we on, President?
Senate File 28, Governmental Claims.
Governmental Claims, thank you. I apologize.
That's quite all right. We're all having some startup issues, and I'm
I was engrossed in reading another bill that we're going to vote about here in a second. The under Senate Rule 24-1, I move introduction of Senate File 28, Governmental Claims Liability Limits. And ask you for favorable consideration. This is similar to some of the other things we did. The governmental claims liability limits have been, I believe, since at least 1984, if not earlier, putting the limit of individuals who are harmed by agents or instrumentalities of the state to $250,000. Those haven't been changed. And then the aggregate on those of injuries. So, if you say you had an example might be a snowplow hitting a bus. If a state snowplow hitting a bus, if those kids, if more than one kid hurt, the maximum that the state would be liable for in those instances would be $500,000, no matter how many kids were on the bus. Looked at those things. We had a robust discussion. Ultimately, we increased those amounts and thought that it was time that we look at those things based upon cost of living and other things that are out there and what things cost these days. So we up those and bring that to your consideration. I think it's a policy discussion we need to have on the floor about whether we increase this or not. Basically, the Judiciary Committee doubled them, doubled the individual amount and tripled the cumulative amount, but there's nothing that's particularly special about those things other than the fact that the cost of living has more than doubled in that same time period. So we're bringing that to the body to look at that, to determine if that's worthy of increasing or not. I'm going to ask you for favorable consideration so we can have that discussion on the floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senate File 28, reading clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick. Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
no.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott, Von Platern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 6 noes.
Senate File 28, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 40, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 40, sponsored by Senator Nicholas, Judicial Salaries, an act relating to the judicial branch.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pursuant to Rule 24, I'd request the introduction of, or move for the introduction of Senate File Number 40, the Judicial Salaries. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that the Appropriations Committee has, by now, has made a recommendation that there will be no salary increases for K-12, state employees, community colleges, UW, and state employees. We have two areas that we need to have discussion with the members as we go through, and one are judicial wages for the judicial staff, and the final is the judicial salaries. This addresses the salaries issues. We believe that the judiciary, both their staff and the judges themselves, lag behind by a year or greater behind wage increases that were offered to other state employees, so they are, in effect, treated unequally, and they do that as a matter of course because the budget process, as it rolls through, provides, in general, near-automatic increases for a lot of state employees, but not for the judiciary. The judiciary essentially lags behind, and we do the catch-up. With respect to salaries, though, for the judges themselves, the Constitution provides that they cannot receive a salary increase except by way of statute. So we can't provide for their wages in the budget bill unless there's a general cost of living increase that's generally applied to all employees. They can enjoy some of that, but otherwise it requires a special bill. The Constitution requires the legislature to analyze or to set those salaries. This bill proposes increases in the salaries at amounts that we've gone through, and it looks like these are the appropriate salaries that would result to make them equivalent to what's already being paid by their comparable executive branch counterparts. Now, folks, I urge you to vote aye for the bill. If we determine as a group that there are going to be no salaries this year, then we can delay the implementation of this bill by a year or 2 years, whatever we choose to do. But it's always difficult for the judiciary because it has to come by statute. Then once we pass the bill, the salaries, much like our salaries, cannot be increased
30
in our
seconds.
General office. Their salaries have a delayed effect. And in this instance, even whether the bill applies now, a year from now, or 2 years from now, we can decide that later, but we have to have the bill to make that decision. I urge your support.
Thank you, Senator. Senate File 40. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
No.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich. Esquibel, Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
no.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
Bonflaturn,
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 25 ayes, 5 noes.
Senate File 40, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 15, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 15, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Advanced Conversion Technologies Task Force Amendments, and Act Relating to the University of Wyoming.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pursuant to Senate Rule 24-1, I move Senate File 15 for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does is changes the name of the Clean Coal Task Force to the Advanced Conversions Technology Task Force, and it pushes the sunset date out to 2015, and it changes the description of what we do from
from enhanced and improved clean coal technologies with an emphasis of methods of combusting subbituminous coal at high altitudes to improve advanced conversion technologies. And what we have looked at in the Clean Coal Task Force is that we've really been emphasizing on things to make coal burn cleaner. But now that we have these technologies that are starting to grow that allow us to take coal and convert it into something else that we can use, and it's in many cases something that's worth more money, we felt it would be better to rename the Clean Coal Task Force to the Conversions Technology Task Force, and that better fits the aim and the goal of what we should be doing at this point. And I'd hope that you would support this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Senate File 15, Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate File 15. Having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 37, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 37, sponsored by the Labor Committee, Medicaid Waiver Funding, and Act Relating to Medicaid.
Senator Dockstader.
Mr. President, pursuant to Senate File, Senate Rule 24-1, I move Senate File 37, Medicaid Waiver Funding, for introduction and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, during the interim, we heard that those people on the Medicaid waiting list, they continue to go without assistance because the list, they're just not keeping up with it. The wait time goes beyond what it should be. And these are the people with disabilities and acquired brain injuries. They're in need of assistance. Now, the bill calls for the governor's office to report to the appropriations and the labor and health committees and to the legislature if the list extends beyond 6 months. That's for the waiver disabilities and 1 month for the acquired brain injuries. Again, we're trying to shorten the waiting period time down to help these families and individuals gain assistance in a little more timely fashion. 37 calls for a general fund appropriation of $14 million from the general fund, with $14 coming from the federal funding to the Department of Health. Funding would start with the Act and end June 30, 2014. In summary, those receiving the services under the Medicaid Child and Adult Home and Community-Based Waiver Services are just not receiving their services in a timely manner. They've come to our committee asking for assistance in getting this problem corrected. We're coming to you to ask you to give further consideration, allowing the committee to address this and make sure that we help these individuals and these families who are waiting to seek assistance through this program. And I would ask the Senate for your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Senator. In regard to Senate File 37, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout. Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
No.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer. Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 6 noes.
Senate File 37, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor Health. Senate File 20, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 20, sponsored by Senator Geis, Livestock Disease Reporting and Liability, and Act Relating to Livestock.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, I move Senate File 20 for your favorable introduction. What this deals is with people that have diseased animals and they know about it, and they either sell them to someone else or they let them run in these associations and things like that. And it's getting to be a serious problem, so we're trying to get a handle on this so that this has a $750 fine or 6 months in jail. So I would ask for your favorite introduction of this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Senate File 20, Chief Clerk, call roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Coe,
Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins, Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 20, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 39, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 39, sponsored by Senator Ross, Adjustment of Child Support for an Adult Child, and Act Relating to Child Support.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for introduction. Senate File 39 asks for your favorable consideration. This is a fairly simple bill, but it has, in some situations, a significant impact. Under our current state of the law, you can be obligated for child support well past the age of majority for your child if the child is disabled. But in certain situations, that child may, because of that child support order, not be eligible to get certain benefits like SSDI benefits, Social Security disability benefits, because of the child support order. So what this simply does is it allows the court to hear the evidence in that situation. And if it's in the best interest of the child, based on a preponderance of the evidence, the court could modify that child support order, and ultimately it's for the benefit of that child. The interesting thing is that if a family is intact and there wasn't a divorce, the child would be eligible in any event for Social Security disability benefits. But because of the child support order, it precludes them from receiving that kind of thing. So it's a bill that was brought to me by the judiciary. They've run into it on a couple occasions and would urge your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Senator. Senate File 39, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
Bonflatern,
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 39, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 44, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 44, sponsored by Senator Case, Parental Responsibilities, an Act Relating to Parents.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have moved for the introduction of Senate File 44, Parental Responsibilities. Mr. President, my time in this legislature, I've watched us put a significant effort towards increasing the education opportunities for children in Wyoming. We have placed an enormous amount of money into schools, curriculum, salaries, and we have done this in all the good spirit to try to improve the welfare of our children and make them better citizens and educated, capable of making a living. We can't do this alone, Mr. President. We need the help of parents. I have a superintendent in my district says, you guys tell us to have accountability, but do you realize that I have elementary age children that miss weeks of school every semester? I have one child that this last semester missed 60 days, and it's not because they're doing anything else. It's just because the parents haven't got them to school. Parents have a tough time. Single parents have a tough time. There are crises in households, but it is not always a priority to get children to school. This bill tries to assist with that by raising the fine from $5 to $100 a day for not having your children in school. How often does this fine get imposed? Almost never. And how does the fine get imposed? There's quite a bit of checks and balances here, Mr. President. The school has an attendance officer that has to file a complaint in the district court. But before they file the complaint, they have to meet with the parents, and it can only happen after 5 unexcused absences. They meet with the parents. They try to counsel the parents, and only after additional absences occur, which this is not in this bill, but it's part of our compulsory attendance statute, says that they reasonably believe the absence was due to willful neglect or failure of the parent, guardian, or custodian of the child. Then they file a complaint in the district court. The judge takes it up. Now, look, if an elementary child is missing that much school, it's a serious thing. This is not about homeschoolers. Homeschoolers are able to be excused from our compulsory attendance statute by filing their curriculum with the local school district. That's the law. They can do that now. Now, some people object to filing the curriculum.
And 30 seconds.
Was that time, Mr. President?
30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. President. You do have a memo that says that certain organizations of homeschoolers consider that they have to legally register the school district to educate their own children or file the curriculum. They're not here to change that law. You know, if they want to change that law, they can be here to change that law. This law does not catch them. It only applies to children in our public schools that we're spending so much money on, and we need the help of parents to make that happen.
Thank you, Senator Case.
Consideration.
Senate File 44. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
No.
Esquibel. Geis,
no.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
no.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Bonslatern, President Anderson?
No.
Close. Driscoll, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 10 ayes, 20 noes.
Senate File 44. Having failed to receive a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 44 has failed introduction. Senator Jennings?
May I have privilege of the floor, Mr.
You may.
Fellow Senators, I'd like to introduce Willard Elementary, traveled all the way from Casper under the direction of their teacher, Linda Olson. Let's give him a Senate welcome.
Welcome, students. We hope you enjoy your time in Capitol. Clerks, do we have any reports from standing committees?
February the 14th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 3, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, and Martin. Excuse, Senator Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 14th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 4, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, and Martin. Excuse, Senator Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 14th, 2002, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 5, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, and Martin. Excuse, Senator Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 13th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 8, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 13th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 10, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 13th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 11, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 13th, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 9, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cooper, Landon, and Schiffer. No, Senator Johnson and Nutting, Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Senator Schiffer.
I would request that Senate File 11, Veterans Skilled Nursing Center, be re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2 to adjust the appropriation.
The request is that the bill be re-referred. Any objections? Seeing none. Has been re-referred.
We don't do that.
Yeah, I know.
Senator Nicholas, did you have something for us?
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor to talk about budgetary issues?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, I had a prepared speech yesterday as the Vice President that talked about some of the budget issues. Unfortunately, like many of you, you may have attended the gas seminar put on by Senator Bebout and the Minerals Commission and Committee, and if you're like me, you came away pretty depressed. Thank you, Eli. I appreciate that. But so I thought I should give it some more thought and come back and over the evening think about what the implications of the gas horizon has on our budget. And I truly believe that when you begin to think about the gas issue, the budget issue, you have to think about what's the immediate impact on our budget. Thank you. What does it mean when we talk about when things get better, where they stabilize? As they stabilize, where are they going to stabilize, and what does it mean to us? And then that discussion cannot be completed without a discussion of the rainy day account and how it ties into our present fiscal profile. Those are the things I want to address, and you all should have the handouts now. I'll go through those to help explain. Mr. President, before I begin that discussion, I did want to make a personal apology to you and to the committee. Most of you have read or understand by now that a distracting issue arose during the end of the JAC with respect to the Laramie Aquifer and my champion of that. Frankly, it was a distraction that I think that didn't belong in the committee. We'll be writing another bill that to carry that. It'll be championed by Senator Rothfuss. While I don't think I had a conflict, I do believe I let you, Mr. Chairman or President, and the committee down by having that controversy as your chairman. I pledge that to return to the budget and leave that champion effort to my colleague, and I do apologize. Ladies and gentlemen, with respect to the budget and where we are and where we're going to go, you're going to see these charts with respect to these lines and figures. Some of them are self-evident. With all of them, they have a revenue stream on the top as a single line and expenditures on the bottom as single points. The way these charts work is that where you see 11, 12, 13, and 14, if you draw a line straight up and down, that's really the fiscal picture snapshot based upon the goldenrod on that particular goldenrod event. So it's not as though these are continuous events. They go from point to point to point. In each of these, we're asking the staff to put in the assumptions along the top because you're going to see lots of different charts being prepared. And you have to remember that when you're talking about $3 billion plus, when you begin to talk about increments of hundreds of millions, they're pretty small in a chart like this. And that's where I really want to talk to you about, and that is what's the impact of these budgets. Let me draw your attention to this chart here. Mr. Chairman, I know that aids are not appropriate, but if I may, go ahead and use this aid.
You may.
Thank you. With respect to this chart, and come over and look at it, this is the chart that we prepared with the governor's budget as it came to us in December. Now, lots happened to that. All of you know that October Craig had a valuation close to about $4 an MCF for gas. It was lowered to $3.25 in January, Craig forcing the governor to revise his budget, and JAC then came with recommendations on that revisions. Now, as a practical matter, here's what I think. When I listen to the experts, I think this is what we have to be prepared for. Remember with gas prices, there are a couple things about it. First of all, we have, at any given time, your valuations are hedged, but those hedges come off in about 8 months. So producers are out there hedging, and within about 8 months, the hedges go away, but we get buffered by those hedges. Remember also that our valuation for gas, some of it is we hit immediate changes for federal mineral royalties, things like that, but for some of your assessed valuation is a year behind. So right now, this year we'll be receiving revenues based upon last year's assessments for some purposes. So that we have a lot of things in our budget that buffer us going down. We can come up quickly, but we're also buffered up quickly because we have the delay in assessments. But here's, you know, Well, if you go back to these documents you look at, I kept reminding myself, if you go back to pages 5 and back, I put in the goldenrod back when Senator Schiffer and I began as co-chairman of the JAC, back when we had about $1.3 billion. It wasn't too long ago. You start looking at some of these old goldenrods, flipping through them, look at the time when those things, you realize that we are in a pretty good time. I mean, we're not talking about $1.3 billion. We're talking about $3 billion, a doubling of our revenues. That's good. But here's the caution and the concern. In this map, what I've done here, and this again was based upon $4 gas. It was based upon the Gov's rec as they were proposed in December, which have now been reduced. But they show you some things here. First of all, if you look at the revenue picture, when we came up this peak, it was a great ride. It was a lot of fun. We were all there. We did a lot of building. We put over $1 billion into the University of Wyoming, hundreds of millions in the community colleges, hundreds of millions in our facilities. It was a wonderful time going up, and at the same time, we took our ongoing expenses on our government spending up. But if you look at $4 gas, and this is top line is $4 gas, and you look at this revenue picture, in the next biennium, the difference between our expenses and our revenues is compressed to zero. And this assumes just the governor's rec of increases at the time going back a month ago. So at $3 a gas, we're now underwater when you look at the locals, the government expenses. Obviously, your one-time expenses are no longer available. At $2 gas, you got a problem. You're now below your operating dollars, and you haven't even paid for your one-times. $3 gas gets you about here in this blue, $2 to $2.50, $3 here, and $4 here. So what are we seeing? There's a good, I think from what we're hearing, is that there's a good chance that we may see a revision in the CREG that will take us to the $2 and the $2.50. And if that may hold as long as a year or two. The consensus seems to be within 2 to 3 years, we'll return to a stabilized amount. And that stabilized price is likely to be in the $4 range. The term that we're hearing now is, in fact, yesterday, is that wet gas is the enemy of dry gas prices. We have so much production occurring in the United States to produce wet gas, take the oil and the condensates out and produce oil. The dry gas has become a byproduct, and particularly when you start looking up the Marcellus play and some of those areas, we have dry gas being dumped somewhere. You either flare it, as they're doing in the Bakken play, or it gets dumped into pipelines and storage. And the experts are telling us that excess dry gas market is going to exist probably for the next 10 years. What they're talking about is stabilizing about $4 and then over the course of time between 10 years maybe going to $4 to $5. The experts are telling us the only thing that's going to change that in the immediate is is weather. You either have an enormously cold winter in Chicago and New York, let's pray for it, or you're going to have really hot days that drive gas for air conditioning during the summer. But right now, we've been sitting about 50-degree weather all winter in most of these areas, and we just don't see that huge volume of consumption. So what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that if we do see this drop to $2 to $2.50, we got an issue. Now, we have to look at both the school foundation program account and the general fund to sort of say what's going to happen. Well, what the JAC has done with respect to the potential for dropping down to this $2.250 is we put a budget provision that you'll see that says if the Craig group meets and revises their estimates downward from January Craig, then there's available from, we call it the natural gas reserve policy account, but it's essentially amount monies that come out of the LSRA, the rainy day account, $150 million we drop in, and we're saying this is the cushion. If the Craig Group estimates a reduction in value or in income revenues from the January Craig, in any event other than an October Craig or a January Craig, the money will, that $150 million, it will flow in to backstop the loss in revenues between the $2 and the $3 that we're presently estimating. The purpose is that we think we're kind of prepared for that. We didn't want the Craig Group to be pressured not to meet. Now, there are two Craig events that will not trigger this. One is the ordinary regular October Craig and January Craig does not trigger that release. The reason is because that goes from October to January. We'll be back here. We can cause the release to happen as a legislative moment, an action. But what it does do is allow us to, if the change happens next summer, instead of having a special session rushing down to say, oh, we've got a crisis on our hands, we've prepared for that crisis by taking about $150 million, allowing it to backfill. So that takes care of the general fund and the budget reserve account. Now let's talk about the education account. And I want to talk about the education account in the context of this whole picture and where we're going. On these handouts, take a look at page 3. Page 3 is a pretty sobering event or graph, and what I meant to say is we need to talk about the education account in terms of what constitutes a rainy day. What do you save for when that money's available? And what you're seeing here again is your revenue line on the top and your expenditures down below. The difference between the area that's in the white, that is the area above the red, which is our expenditures in red and blue, and below the revenue lines, I've actually called that historically, that's what I call the Hathaway spread. The difference there is the amount of money that we set aside to, there's a difference in there. That money didn't necessarily get saved. Rather, we first spent it to fund $400 million about of the Hathaway Scholarship Program. We used it to fund after the higher education account, both projects championed by Senator Scott Massey and others. It was a terrific idea. And then when you look at the high peak here, that's once those accounts were funded, we began using that money to fund school capital construction, along with co-lease bonuses. And we've engaged in about $1 billion worth of school CapCon, and we have an aggressive school CapCon bill in or a bill coming through, and we're continuing that effort. But as you see the revenue drop down, now look at the compression again between what your expenditures are and that last point at the end of 11-12. Here's the issue. At $2 gas, if we have a $2 revision, the revenues into, down at $2 gas, the revenues into the education account will be lower than our expenses for a given year. Now, The immediate impact won't be felt because the education count, more than any other count, is buffered by last year's assessed valuations. So we, as it goes down, we're buffered, it goes slower. So the reason we're not providing a backfill mechanism for the education account is because we don't think that the convergence of revenues, even at $2 gas or $2.25 gas, $2.50 gas, we don't think they're going to hit immediately. Because, again, most of the, a lot of the revenue that goes into the education account is based upon assessed valuations from 1 year ago. But when we hit the point, and it could happen if you're at $2 to $3 gas, when we hit the point that your expenditures in your education account are in excess of your revenues, you have two problems. First of all, Constitution, as you know, requires that that be funded first. When I came to the legislature, we were funding education out of the general fund about $100 million a year. And it's not very much fun when the first dollars out of your pocket go to pay for education, because it's like taking $200,000 off, because you just start off with a real hole to climb out of. The second problem is that we've been relying on that Hathaway spread to help us build schools. And if we run out of that Hathaway spread, we might be lucky and we might have enough COLE's bonuses to carry us through, and it's been a great year for that. But and those COLE's bonuses, remember, do not get profiled until the leases are actually sold. But nevertheless, you have those events conversion. What I would submit to you is, when people ask me what is the rainy day account and when do you know it's rainy day? Incidentally, in this budget, we're saying let's create a rainy day policy. But in general, a rainy day is, in our budget, is when the education fund cannot pay its expenses from the revenues that are earmarked to that account, or when we don't have the resources to pay the school capital construction. That's what a rainy day is. Now, what's the appropriate amount? I've always advocated that when you hit that rainy day with a $3 billion budget, you need about a $300 million a year to make that cushion. You don't get there unless you have a rainy day account of about $3 billion. Having said that, we're recommending in this budget that you take $150 out of the rainy day account and you put it into this policy reserve account. When you learn more about the budget, you'll realize that the LSRA could continue to grow during the biennium, because the revenues that come from capital gains investments, once again, are not profiled, because the Treasurer's Office will not profile those monies because it's too speculative. Since we don't profile those monies, when we do receive capital gains investment, those are unprofiled revenues, and they will go into the rainy day account, the LSRA. So there's an opportunity to grow the LSRA at a time, even though we are dipping into it. A couple things that are important to recognize in the question, and there's no doubt that we've given a lot of attention to salaries and to a couple big accounts, but here's the issue. Now turning to your graph here, you have UW and community colleges on the bottom and the Department of Health above. Between UW colleges and the Department of Health, that represents about 54 to 60% of all of our expenditures. The other agencies simply do not have budgets large enough to balance increases in those big gorillas. The balancing of, in other words, you cannot say we want to have more health spending because it goes to our most vulnerable and somebody else will make up the difference, because that somebody else has to be UW or the community colleges. The other budgets are simply too small to absorb that kind of loss. So if you accept the proposition that we're not going to increase taxes and we're going to live within the means that we have, which are quite substantial, we're talking about $3 billion. I gave you the other goldenrods to remind people that we've doubled our budget in this time. So if you're going to live within your revenues, then you have to begin to think, how are we going, what are we going to do, and where are we going to be 2 years from now? Because this year is not the key year. 2 years coming back with lower gas price or even stabilize gas prices is the issue. And what I want to really point out is that if we're going to stabilize at $4, and if the expert tells us that we're going to be at that $4 range for 10 years is what they said yesterday, and that's sort of kind of where Craig is, so even after you get over the bump here, if we stabilize at $4, what does that mean? And I think we tend to think that, hey, prices are going to come back to $7 and $8 where they were up here. Wouldn't that be nice? But if they stabilize at $4, we already have compression. We already have compression at a point to where there's no room for growth. And so 2 years from now, I mean, if we say, look, let's talk about salaries. If we say no salaries this year because we're going to hold our breath, you've heard me say this, hold our breath, see what happens in a year. Well, you can hold your breath, and if all the agency entitlement programs go up and we have no mechanism, we have no growth in our revenues, we'll be back here in 2 years in the same position. And are we going to tell state employees they can't have a second year of raises and a third year of raises and a fourth year of raises and go on? You can have all of the Department of Health expenditures you want. You can help anybody. You may not have any employees to deliver the services. So one of the things I want you to think about as we're going through on this employee issue is if we say, okay, no raises now because it's tough. Well, is it tough because we're expecting $2 to $2.50 adjustment? Is it tough because we're at $3, or is it tough because our long-term stabilized price is around $4, and there's already 2 years from now, there's already compressed to where there's no opportunity for gains? So the $4 long-term is what's got me more concerned than today or the next 2 years. What the budget does is said, look, everybody, you come back. Next year we're going to want to see 4% offerings of budget cuts for the second year of the biennium. Each agency will meet with their oversight legislative committees and say, this is where we think we can come up with 4%. And then we're going to ask the management council to assign, you know, agencies to every legislative committee. And the agencies will provide their proposed 4% cuts, and then we would get separate recommendations, agreeing or disagreeing that, from the committee oversight committees. And then we're asking that you prepare, the agencies prepare for an overall 8% reduction in their general fund on for the next biennium. So we're not going to hit them quickly. And it may be we come back and there is this big phenomenal freeze and that changes the perspective, but
Senator Nicholas,
yes, sir.
Maybe we can wrap this up
I will.
Here in a few minutes.
Thank you. So the upshot of it is, Mr. President, every decision you make now, I would ask that you think in terms of not only the fiscal impact today, but what's it going to be like two years from now? And as I, with the president of the university, I said to him, does it make any sense to give you salary increases of $10 million now and ask for $20 million back later because we can't pay for it? And he says, heck no. You put the salary increases in, it builds up your labor cost. If you want to make a cut now, the only way to cut is through attrition, laying people off. And the principal reason that we're not putting in salary increases now is because of that phenomenon. But we still have to say, where are we going to be next year and 2 years, and are we going to give salary increases then? Are we going to have increases? Are we going to continue our commitment to cities, towns, and local governments, all these one times? If you want to do that, you have to find ways to constrain this budget to live within a $4 long-term gas. I think that pretty sums it up. I don't mean to be depressing, but I think it's sort of the reality of it.
Thank you, and Senator Nicholson. I know that there's questions in the minds of many, but given our time constrictions, I would perhaps you could get with Senator Nicholson off on the side, and these things take a lot of explanation. But with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a motion for us?
Thank you, Mr. President. First, an announcement. Tomorrow is the noon bill deadline cutoff. You have to have your green sheet in for any bills that you have. Must be turned in before noon tomorrow. Otherwise, Katie barred the door. With that, Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Senator Bebaugh?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, February 15th, 15 minutes after the noon recess in room S18 to discuss Senate File 15, Advanced Conversion Technologies Task Force Amendments, Senate File 14, Nuclear and Hybrid Energy System Related Projects, and Senate File 12, Nuclear Energy Task Force Extension.
Senator Nicholas, do you have an announcement for us?
The Appropriations Committee will meet today at 1 o'clock to continue learning about reviewing the budget bill. And the final action will be taken upon adjournment today on the budget bill. Tomorrow, the Senate Appropriations Committee will meet upon adjournment to consider the retirement system discussion. And then tomorrow at 8 a.m. we'll be talking about public works contracts. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Geis.
Number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources will meet up on adjournment tonight, and we'll take up Senate File 18, Reimbursement for Livestock, Senate File 19, Predator Management, District Management.
Senator Perkins. Thank you, Senator Geis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet Wednesday, February the 15th at 8 a.m. in room S1 to consider the following bills. Senate File 21, Savings Statute Application of Government Claims. Senate File 22, Death Penalty Method of Lethal Injection. Senate File 22, Clandestine Laboratory Operation Appeal. And we'll probably undertake Senate File 26 as well, now that we've read that in.
Thank you. Are there any other announcements? Before we go to lunch, just kind of a look at our second day, you know, we've done really well. Yesterday, I think we did some 23 bills. This morning, we did about another 23. This afternoon, when you come back, you'll have a list of the bills that will be presented, introduced this afternoon. On that list, there's about some 17 bills. So without maybe a few reports or something like that, we're going to move right along this afternoon. So those of you who have committee meetings upon adjournment, that will give you a little bit of an idea. 17 bills to be dealt with this afternoon, and most all these bills are individual bills. They're not interim bills. And so, you know, we'll get that list out on your desk, and if there's an issue, you know, in regard to introduction, just let us know and we can change the order or do that. But we're very glad to work with you on that. So with that, you heard the motion. All those you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those in no. Opposed say no. That motion is carried, and so the Senate shall stand recessed until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Thank you.
I think you get this every 4 hours. Yeah.